Frank Robinson has done it again. His comments about the new Turbine R66 and the future. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. When Frank Robinson announced plans to follow up the R-44 four-place piston helicopter with a five-place turbine, everybody wanted to know if he'd hit a price point which would make the new machine as fiercely competitive as his piston machines have been. All he'd say was that the new machine would come in under $1 million a copy. At Heli Expo 2010 in Houston last month, he not only made good on that promise, but beat it by over $200,000. The R-66 will hit the street with a base price of $770,000 U.S. and seems like a slam dunk for flight schools already equipped with 22s and 44s looking to transition students into turbines. ANN CEO and Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell caught up with Frank Robinson at Heli Expo.
Before we get into the news of the hour, let's think back a little bit. When you were developing the R-22, and let's face it, at the time it was, well, Frank and his toy helicopter. You know, they just weren't willing to take you seriously.
That's right.
Did you ever really, I mean, could you think far enough ahead and see this and realize where that helicopter was going to get you?
Well, I had my dreams. But whether I really believed them or not, that's another question. Yeah.
Must be an immense amount of satisfaction to a period of time when it was hard to get attention to a point where all the attention's around you.
Yeah, well, that's been nice. It's don't really need it, but it's been nice.
Well, let's talk first about top dead center here. Obviously, the R-66 has got everybody all of Twitter at this point, especially now with a price and some numbers out. As I understand it, your original design goals for the 66 have never been compromised, and you got the helicopter you wanted.
Yes, it's exactly the helicopter that we wanted, and we have not been disappointed in any of its performance specifications or any other specifications that we had planned for it. And so it's meeting, just doing everything that we wanted it to do. And that's kind of unusual, because usually you have to compromise someplace along the line, but so far it's just the ship that we really wanted to buy, to design and build.
As compared to development programs you undertook for various versions of the 22 and then, of course, various versions of the 44, what was it like developing a turbine helicopter after building pistons for so many years?
It didn't really make any difference. Horsepower is horsepower, right? And granted, it's going to burn a little more fuel, as the turbines always do, but almost every other aspect of it is pretty much the same.
One thing that's obviously been more difficult over the years is certification issues have gotten tighter, more restrictive, and more complex as we've gone on. How was it working with the FAA over the R-66? You've got to be a known quantity to them and vice versa by now, right?
Yes, and the FAA actually has been good to work with. And they've been as cooperative as they can. But the change in the regulations that occurred a few years back that added all of the crashworthy requirements and post-crash requirements, those were new. And they were a little bit more complicated and tougher than what we had really expected.
With the regulations as they stand today, Could somebody at this point develop what you did with the R-22 in today's environment?
Oh, I don't think so. But I really haven't thought about that, so that's an answer just off the cuff. You know,
So where does the 66 development program stand now, and what is, I mean, I realize nobody wants to give a hard date or anything else, but what can we expect between now and eventual deliveries?
Oh, gosh, we should be through with our certification and any other problems or developments that we needed to have so that we would be delivering helicopters easily in this coming 6 months. But I could be wrong. It's sometimes things will sneak out of the woodwork that you haven't really expected, and you have to go back to page one, but I don't think that's going to happen in this case.
Now, how will the initial allocation or deployment of the machines occur? In the past, with the 44 in particular, you kept those helicopters close to home initially so as to be able to maintain type supervision. Are you going to do the same thing this time around?
We'll do it to the extent that we can, yes, because we would much rather have the early helicopters close to home so that if we do uncover something that needs to be changed, they can easily fly back to the factory and we'll make all the changes for them.
In your press conference the other day, easily the most well-attended press conference at Heli Expo this year, you were talking about some of the things that will occur post initial certification of the 66. You mentioned air conditioning and floats as a primary issue. Let's talk about where those stand. And by the way, are we ever going to see a glass panel Robbie?
Oh, I wouldn't attempt to predict one way or the other on the glass panel. There's some advantages to it and some disadvantages. Our big concern, of course, is we want the panel that's going to be the safest one for the pilot to use when he's flying. And it always worries me a little bit when you make a change that requires the pilot to look inside the cabin at the instrument panel instead of looking outside the cabin for wires, other aircraft, other obstacles. So that's always a kind of a compromise to me, and I'm not sure I really am willing to make that particular compromise at this time yet.
And air conditioning and floats, but how soon might we see those?
Yeah, I don't see any problem with going ahead with the air conditioning, and that will be one of our top priority development programs. And the especially the pop-out floats have been very popular and have worked very, very well. And they're very easy to use and nice to fly and all that. So that also will be quite a high top priority program.
Where do you see the initial market for the 66? I mean, this is going to be a private ship, or we've been hearing quite a few operators talking about the economies of scale for initial turbine training to be pretty extreme.
Well, I don't expect any problem with the turbine training because it flies so similar to the R-44 that I just can't imagine that being any problem, because other than changing and memorizing just a few things in the starting procedure that you have to watch out for, that's it. Because the ship itself flies just like very much like the R-44. It just, you've got that power reserve that is going to be very comforting in tough, tight situations.
2009 was not a year that anybody in the aviation industry is going to look back on fondly. How'd you make out in 2009?
Oh, it was a disaster, because we had practically all of our production for 2009 sold out, and then all of a sudden the banks did not do what they were supposed to do when they got that $700 billion. Instead of using it to finance purchases such as helicopters or machinery or whatever, the bankers took that money, and as I understand it, they used it to make acquisitions, to give themselves big fat bonuses, and that's it. Oh, I tell you, that whole thing, and I just really hope that Obama has the strength of character to follow up and get the people punished that have committed fraud in exercising that program, and to correct it.
Let's talk about the piston line for the time being. How does the future look for the 22? What's on the horizon for the 22 series?
Well, the 22 is kind of an anomaly now, because its original market is still there. It's still the least expensive helicopter to learn to fly helicopters in. And it's the least expensive helicopter to use for cattle mustering or cattle herding. And those markets are there, and I suppose they'll stay there. And we will continue to support that market. Although I would still much prefer to have people start out with their primary training using, say, the Raven 1 as their primary trainer, because for one thing, it's a four-place helicopter that you would be flying as a two-place and have all of that performance margin that would really make add a lot of safety to the training. So we really will always, as we always have, do whatever we can to try to promote safety and reduce accidents.
More with Jim Campbell and Frank Robinson in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with Frank Robinson of Robinson Helicopters about the new Turbine R66. But there's certainly plenty of life left in the legacy products as well.
On the R44 side of things, how's that line look? And any changes in the horizon for that line?
Well, the R-44 Raven 2, gosh, it would be hard to come up with a change that would be beneficial on it. It has been turned out to be a really well-balanced design, and of course is very popular, by far the most popular helicopter on the market today and for the past number of years. I don't really expect any big changes with the Raven 2. I think it'll stay pretty much as it is.
All that being the case, do you have any idea yet of how O-10 is going to look overall for your company?
Well, I think once it's all turned around and we get into production, it's going to start to look quite good. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take us to do the last finishing off of the type certification of the 66, or how long it's going to take us to get it into full production. But assuming that that's what we would expect it to be, yeah, OT-10 should turn out to be a turnaround year and, in the end, a good year.
As I understand, you've got additional capacity ready to go the minute you're into serial production?
Well, yes, we, in anticipation of this, we finally got additional property that would allow us to add a building extension on our west end, which will give us the additional floor space that we will need when the R66 is in full production. And we're very well equipped already with all of the latest state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment, so we won't have to add too much there. No, we're in good shape to move ahead with that. Now, we do have to increase our employment back up because it dropped by about 350 employees from just under 1,400 all the way down to we're just a little over 1,000 right now. So that will start to turn around and go back up again. But I don't expect any real problems there.
And finally, you've had a unique opportunity to look at this industry both as one of the worker bees back in your Bell days all the way to running what is unquestionably, you know, the most well-known civil helicopter company in the world at this point. How do you look at the role of rotorcraft in our transportation infrastructure from here on out? There's all kinds of questions about how the economy will eventually affect this industry, but it seems to me that rotorcraft literally have no place to go but up.
I think that's true. There are some political pitfalls that have to be overcome. So a lot of the countries still have very tough rules and where you can fly and where you can land and all that. So we're going to have to get some of those brought down to reality. But overall, I think it's very good.
And I got to ask, and I know there's no real answer, but what's an Arna 88 going to look like?
Haven't even given that one single thought. I don't really know. I really don't want to design a helicopter that carries more than five people, which the R-66 does. And I don't know. I at this point in time, I don't really anticipate going ahead with one that carries anything more than five.
Well, Frank, we thank you for your time, and especially the opportunity to finally get up close and personal with the 66. And I got to tell you, it's in our budget for next year, so save a spot for us.
Okay, we sure will.
Frank Robinson is the founder, president, and chairman of Robinson Helicopters. Find out more at robinsonheli.com. Jim Campbell is CEO and editor-in-chief of ANN. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.